Technology idioms is the topic of this video. I want to introduce some idiomatic phrases that are in some way related to technology and that are both useful and common. The very first one is reinvent the wheel. As we all know, the wheel is a very simple, basic piece of technology. It's round, it's simple, but so many things have been built upon that technology. So that idea of taking something that someone else invented and making it better or building upon it or building from it to come up with something new and useful is considered a positive thing. But if you kind of waste your time and energy and money doing the same thing that's already been done, you're not really contributing anything new. And so you'll hear people say, oh, you're just wasting your time. Don't reinvent the wheel. There's no need to reinvent the wheel. It's already been done. Do something new. Do something innovative like this. An example might be a graduate student working on a PhD, and they do their research and they spend lots and lots of time doing it only to find out that research has already been done, so they've just reinvented the wheel, right? They didn't provide anything new. That researcher should have read more around the topic in order to understand what's been done before and then build on that research like this. So don't reinvent the wheel. You'll often hear this in a negative way. Don't reinvent the wheel. Do something new or build upon something that's already been done. Okay, that's the first one, reinvent the wheel. Now, from the wheel, machines have been created, right? Machines. And you'll hear the idiomatic expression, well-oiled machine. A well-oiled machine is something that works really efficiently and really well and accomplishes the purpose for which it was designed effortlessly, flawlessly, in a really efficient way. It's a well-oiled machine. Race cars are well-oiled machines. Usain Bolt is a well-oiled machine like this, right? Or maybe you know someone who does something really well, really efficiently. They're a real professional at it. They are a well-oiled machine. Or maybe there's a system within a company or within a school, and that is a well-oiled machine. It's been developed for many years. All of the inefficiencies have been corrected, and now it's a well-oiled machine. It's worth investing in. It's worth getting involved in, like this. So well-oiled machine, that's a good idiom to use. Now, another machine that's quite well-oiled is a watch, right? A Swiss watch or a Japanese watch or something like this. Those are well-oiled machines, but if you hold them up to your ear, it's very quiet, but I can hear it ticking. It ticks. And I wonder to myself, what makes this watch tick? So that's the next idiom, make something tick. What makes it tick, right? And basically that means, what are the underlying causes behind something, some kind of phenomenon or the way that something is done? What are the causes? What makes it tick? See, I don't know what makes this tick. I can't open it up. It's very thin and it's tight and I can't see what is actually making it tick. So I just have to imagine what makes this tick like this. Let me give you an example. Maybe you have a friend. Let's call your friend George. And George he's a nice guy, but he's really odd. He does strange things. He has odd ways of thinking. And you can't really understand what makes him tick. You don't understand like why he decides to do the things that he does or why he makes the decisions he does. You just don't know what makes him tick. What makes him tick, right? We need to study this guy and find out what makes him tick. Or maybe there's a business in your area of the world that continuously puts out these amazing, innovative products and they do such a good business and you wonder, what makes that company tick, right? What makes them tick? Is it skillful management that makes them tick? Is it, you know, a group of innovative thinkers that makes them tick? What makes that company tick? What makes them do the excellent work that they do? So if you want to find out the causes of something, you can find out what makes it tick. Just like this watch. What makes it tick? I have no idea. Okay, next one is push someone's buttons. Buttons are on a machine. Lots of machines have buttons. Your computer probably has a button on it. But to push someone's buttons means to provoke them or arouse them, to stir up the passion in them. And usually when you push someone's buttons, you're making them angry. Generally speaking, you can push someone's buttons to make them angry or make them very passionate about something. It could be used in a sexual way, and it would still have meaning, but generally speaking, when you push someone's buttons, you're causing them to get upset or excited or angry. For example, there's a teacher I know that I work with, and if I start talking about the administration, that really pushes his buttons. He gets upset quickly, right? Because he doesn't like the administration. So if I'm around him and I want to see him get excited, I'll say, hey, you know, the administration, I just got an email from the administration and they're asking us to do more work. That'll set him off and really push his buttons, right? Probably there's someone in your life who really pushes your buttons, right? Gets you upset, right? By the things that they do or the things that they say, okay? It pushes your buttons, or he pushes your buttons, she pushes your buttons, like this. Okay, the next one is blow a fuse. Blow a fuse. This comes from electricity, right? And a fuse is that thing that it's kind of like a little doorway, and if it allows electricity to flow through it. But if the electricity gets too strong or too intense, the fuse will break and it'll cut the electricity. It's a safety measure. So if there's a big surge of electricity, your fuse will get blown apart or blown up, and all the lights will go out. All your appliances will go out. And that's a safety measure to prevent fires. But if a person blows a fuse, it means that they get explosively angry quickly, right? So if you push someone's buttons enough, they might blow a fuse and get really angry and start shouting, or get really angry and start trying to hit people or throwing objects around the room, right? Hopefully you don't do that when you blow a fuse, but that's what happens when people get angry. They blow a fuse, right? When was the last time you blew a fuse, and what caused you to blow a fuse like this? There's another technology-related idiom that uses also the verb to blow, and that's to blow off steam. And of course, steam was a part of technology. I think of like old train engines, train locomotives that use steam to drive the train. A lot of old factories use steam to move the big machinery. And to blow off steam means to get rid of some steam. So if you imagine inside your head, there's lots of steam, and if you release it, it comes out, it blows, you know, you're blowing off the steam. And this basically means to release tension, to release your anger, to release your stress. You blow off steam. What do you do to blow off steam? Well, when you're angry, there are different things you can do to blow off steam. One thing you can do is you could punch a pillow. Another thing you could do to blow off steam is to do deep breathing exercises. Everybody has different ways of blowing off steam. Some people go and exercise. They lift weights to blow off steam. Other people go out drinking and they go gambling to blow off steam. Or others just take a walk in the forest to blow off steam. What do you do to blow off steam when you're stressed or angry or upset? Okay. Now, we're back to buttons again, buttons on a machine. To hit the panic button is another idiom I think that's useful. And this basically means to take some kind of emergency action, or, you know, to take some kind of quick, immediate action when there's an emergency situation, or to act very quickly without thinking, to respond to some kind of panic or some kind of high tension situation. So you hit the panic button. You imagine a big red button, and you're not supposed to press this button unless it's an emergency. It's a panic button. When you hit it, things happen. Like, to give you an example of how this might be used, I have a friend, Susan, and for many, many years, Susan, you know, she was interested in starting a family one day, but she was never in a big hurry. You know, she dated different guys, but nothing really worked out. And it didn't bother her because life was long. And then one day, she turned 36 and she hit the panic button. You know, she realized one day, she woke up and realized that her biological clock was ticking and she needed to get into a serious relationship quickly so that she could have children and have enough time to have children. And so she hit the panic button and she immediately put all of her energy into finding Mr. Right, you know, the perfect husband. And that's all she talked about. She hit the panic button. She did everything she could to find the right husband, the right father for her children like this. So have you ever hit the panic button in your life? Suddenly taken action because of emergency circumstances or because of a feeling of anxiety or panic? Some of us have probably hit the panic button in our lives. We hit the panic button at Deep English whenever when our website goes down, or if there's a big technical problem on our website, we have to immediately stop whatever we're doing, hit the panic button, and we go into recovery mode. We need to figure out how to get that website back up, how to solve the problem that we're having. We hit the panic button. We call each other, we email each other, we get on the phone with the server administrator, and we try to figure out what the problem is. Hit the panic button. Okay. Let's move on one's radar. Radar, right? Radar. It's those screens, you know, that you can see. You often see them in airline traffic controllers use radar, or pilots that are flying planes use radar. It's a way to actually see what's out there using, I guess they're sound waves or radar waves, some kind of form of energy that bounces off of objects that are out there and comes back, and you can see it on like a screen. So if it's on your radar, it means you are aware of it. So what's on your radar? If someone might ask me, hey, you know, there is a new job out there that has, you know, they're looking for someone just like you. You might say, yeah, okay, I know that. I already heard about it. It's on my radar. It's on my radar. I already know about it, right? Like this. So if something is on your radar, it means you are aware of it. It's on your radar. Also related to the form of energy, speaking of energy waves or radar waves, is to be on the same wavelength as another person. We're on the same wavelength. So to be on the same wavelength as someone means you have very similar ways of thinking. That you have a good understanding with another person. You're on the same wavelength. You're thinking the same way. You're feeling the same way about something. There are big changes taking place in Tom's corporation, in his business, and many people are nervous about those changes. But Tom and his staff, they're all on the same wavelength. They're thinking about responding to these changes in the same way. And so that makes them feel a little bit more comfortable about the changes that are taking place because everyone is on the same wavelength. But there's someone in a different department within the company who's not on the same wavelength, right? His name is Frank, and he's really nervous about it, and he disagrees with Tom and his staff about it. They're not on the same wavelength. They have lots of conflict about it. So to be on the same wavelength means to think and feel in similar ways, right? Who are you on the same wavelength with? Okay, just a few more. The next one is to get your wires crossed. To cross wires, to get your wires crossed. What does that mean? Well, think about it in terms of the technology of the telephone, right? If you have a telephone and you make a call, you're essentially using your voice to send a message to someone in a different physical location through a wire. And if that wire is unbroken, your message will go all the way through to the end receiver of the message, and they can hear you, and that's how you communicate. But imagine that there's another telephone wire that crosses that wire and causes the communication that you're sending to go to a different recipient. and the communication you are supposed to receive comes from a different. Suddenly there's a mass confusion, right? And the message you want to send may not end up in the right place because the wires are crossed, and that confuses communication. So anytime you get your wires crossed with another person, it means you lack understanding. There's some kind of confusion, some kind of breakdown in the communication that causes, you know, misunderstanding and poor communication. So to get your wires crossed. Sometimes this happens. You get your wires crossed. You try to communicate something to someone and they hear something different than what you were trying to tell them. And based on that, they take actions that were not intended. You did not want them to take those actions, and it causes trouble. And your wires get crossed. Somehow it just didn't, the communication didn't work well. And that can lead to conflict when you get your wires crossed with someone. Okay, so to get your wires crossed means to, you know, lack good understanding, to lack good communication, right? Confusion. All right, finally, pull the plug. That's the last idiom, pull the plug. To pull the plug means to end, right? If you imagine any kind of technology device, whether it's a television, a refrigerator, a computer, it's plugged into the wall, right? It uses a plug to get the electricity it needs. And when you pull the plug, you cut the electricity and it goes off. So to pull the plug means to end something, to terminate something. I the other night, my children were up too late and I pulled the plug on the game they were playing. I just pulled the plug on it. Not literally. I didn't actually go and pull the wire out of the wall. What I mean is figuratively, I said, okay, girls, it's too late. I'm pulling the plug on your game. It's time to go to bed. Stop playing the game. Go to bed, right? Brush your teeth like this. Pull the plug on it. Sometimes I have to pull the plug on an activity I'm doing in the classroom because we're running out of time, or the activity is not working very well, right? It's not going very well. I'll pull the plug on it and start something new like this. So pull the plug just means to end. And that's exactly what I'm going to do in this video. I'm going to pull the plug right now on this video and end with that idiom, okay? Pull the plug. All right, I hope you found these useful. And again, you know, you have to use these things or you will lose them, you will forget them. So write these down, put these in a place so you can review them and start trying to use them. Writing is a good way to do that. Writing is a very good way to use these because you have the time to think about and formulate a message to someone else. And you can use our forum to do that. That's a good place to do it. And of course, conversation is also good, but writing is a good way to think a little bit more about it and to test the waters that way. Okay? All right. See you guys. Bye-bye.